It's the podcast that shakes and stirs up pharmacy. Welcome to PBM on the Rocks.
Whoa. What kind of shit show did I jump into here?
Oh, ha! It's quite the shit show. I hear you.
It's time to give some PBM some hell, right?
Absolutely.
Ben, I know. You motherfucker. You're always messing me on LinkedIn.
That's me, dude. Yeah, I'm the guy that's relentless on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, my God. You're lucky I haven't laid into you. I haven't because, like, I was like, well, he seems likable. I normally fucking murder people who try to solicit me on LinkedIn.
Hey.
I know exactly what you're doing. I'm getting canned messages. I had that from the beginning. And I know I'm getting canned messages, but I normally have aggression to take out on people. I'm just like, oh, you bitch.
Well, hey, all you got to do is look me up and you'll be like, you know what? Every other asshole who's sending me these messages, I hate, but not that guy.
I get on LinkedIn mostly so I can post shit in a more professional environment, because whenever I'm cursing on Twitter, it really doesn't land sometimes because Twitter's a fucking wasteland. But yeah. If I start cursing at people on LinkedIn, they're like, oh, there's some, like, pearl clutching when I start doing that. So I'm a big fan.
Well, I can tell you, man, if you want to see some crazy shit, you go to Twitter. Twitter is where the shit goes down, man. That's what, at least my belief.
Oh, you know? I know.
I mean, oh, good Lord. People go at each other. Yeah, I don't get on Twitter very often because I don't like to see just utter aggression towards people. But towards the PBMs, yeah, go at it. Go at them. Utter aggression towards those assholes is much needed. So anyways.
Hi, everybody. Yeah! 5 minutes late and I'm already into the PBM hate. I love it.
Pretty much.
Hi, Sana. We are so happy that you are here. And for everybody listening, she is a PUP member who reached out to us to let us know that she appreciates PBM on the Rocks. And we were like, that's so great that somebody's listening. Yay.
Listen all the time.
And we're glad to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Actually, when you emailed me if I wanted to be on the show, my pharmacy had just been broken into the night before.
I was basically
running on like 2 hours of sleep because I showed up there at like 3 a.m. and then I stayed there all the way until we opened because they broke the front door. So I couldn't just like leave it like that. Went home, got some rest, and then came back to the pharmacy like 2 hours later. And then I got your email and I was like, oh, this has redeemed my day.
You're in California, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
We get a lot of California pharmacists on the show. Y'all are awesome.
That's true.
Nice.
Yes, we do. All right. So I think that we have all had a chance to introduce ourselves, but have we had a chance to introduce what we are drinking today?
Oh, well, no, we haven't.
Well,
we haven't even really introduced ourselves. We just pretty much went in and just started bitching, you know.
Technically, we never introduce ourselves.
Fuck them. If they're listening to this, they're degenerates anyway. Who cares?
I think it was about saying that, Jeremy, you need no introduction. If people don't know who you are by now, then they probably shouldn't be listening to PBM on the Rocks anyway. But, Jeremy, what are you drinking, sir?
Right now, I didn't have time to go by the liquor store, but I had a bunch of Heinekens in the fridge, so I'm just downing a bunch of Heinekens. And I'll probably go through about 6 in this hour, and that'll probably get me halfway where I normally go. But, you know, whatever.
Halfway to your happy place. Because that's how bad PBMs are, everybody. April is Stress Awareness Month, and we are bringing the awareness of the stress we are feeling.
Cheers.
Yep. So, Shannon, my lady, what are you drinking today?
Well, it is Stress Awareness Month. De-stress requires alcohol and laughter. So I am drinking a lovely bottle of red wine in a glass that reminds me to laugh because it has the measuring levels of LOL, OMG, and WTF.
And I see your past WTF on yours. Is that right?
I started with LOL and then, you know, went up. But I did, just to make sure that the stress getting too high, I did bring the bottle and a straw.
Oh, my God.
Just in case the stress gets too bad, we have the bottle and the straw. We can turn this nonsense into a sippy cup.
Oh, I thought you were going to use the airflow to chug it quicker.
Yeah. Wine bottle and straw, duly noted. All right, Sana, what are you drinking?
I've just got a classic mojito here.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it. Well, and, you know, and what just for the rest of us, maybe who don't have lovely spring weather, what's the weather like where you are today?
It was actually very pleasant today. It was like high 60s. I think it reached like 71. So we were having a little rainy spell last week. So the weather is great. It's like very clear and nice outside right now.
Excellent. Sounds like perfect
Yeah,
mojito.
but Sona, I thought you had your drink in a very special mug.
Oh, I also have a water mug with my FPBM's mug here.
Nice.
Yay. Yay, that's awesome. Okay, great. All right.
When I saw that mug, I was like, I gotta get a bunch of them.
I don't even have one. That's how far behind I am. Shannon and I were talking about the pet store the other day, and I'm like, what's our best sellers? And she's like, the mugs. And I'm like, the mugs?
You're so
Oh my
good.
God, that's right, the mugs. So yeah,
Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to make, the Austin Powers, like, UK flag underwear, or the British flag underwear. We need that, but it's the fuck PBMs thing. I would wear them every day to work, the little bikini briefs that just said fuck PBMs. I'd wear it every single day.
I would totally wear them
Yeah.
every day. There is, that's not at all where I thought you were going with that, but that just inspired me to think, you know what else we need? We need special PBM on the rocks, like highball glasses and beer glasses. We need
Oh
barware.
yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I wonder if we could pull off creating the formed ice cubes.
Ooh, we could. And you know who could find that one out, everybody?
In the
Shannon,
shape of
because that's what she does.
Flipping
Shannon's the problem solver at Putt. She figures out the stuff like that. Okay, Madam President, what are you drinking today?
Well, like Jeremy, didn't have a chance to go to the liquor store, but since we do sip and shop, I have my own box, and I make.
Oh, look at that. With the wine in the box, you don't need the straw. You have
No.
the little thing. So you can literally go like fraternity party and turn it
Yeah.
up from the
It's called slat
box.
bag.
Good.
It's
So
great.
this reminds
Dan
me of
was
my
just straight up like, I'm still at the pharmacy, so I got a box of wine and some Xanaxes. She's gonna go to town.
Somebody call her a cab right now.
Ben, what are you drinking today?
I got a Bloody Mary.
All right, let it be known that Ben has outclassed all of us.
Yeah,
Okay.
so I got a South Carolina Bloody Mary. So
Define
it's
difference.
okay. All right. So you get Bloody Mary mix, get your favorite, then you add salt and pepper, little Worcestershire, however you say that damn word.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire, yeah, whatever the hell that word is.
Yeah.
And then
Worcestershire at the brewery.
you add some damn horseradish. And you go to town because
Nice.
it's spicy as hell. And you know what? Because I'm pretty spicy tonight. Spicy Bloody Mary.
Nice.
Excellent. I'm so
In
happy
Texas,
that you are
you
with
must
us.
add Tabasco to all Bloody Marys. Yes.
I add the horseradish. I like the horseradish taste. I will add Tabasco every once in a while. I don't have Tabasco. That's probably why I didn't do it. But yeah. So try the horseradish. If you haven't tried it, it adds a nice kick to it.
Yep. Fun fact, South Carolina is the horseradish state. No, it's
We did
not. I
not know
don't know
that.
that. It's
We
I
no
made
we
that up.
we eat we eat the shit out of some horseradish. I'm serious. Like prime rib, horseradish. Cocktail sauce, put some damn horseradish in it. You know, mix some
Oh,
ketchup and
yeah.
some
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
That's true.
ketchup, lemon juice, Worcestershire horseradish, put it all, you know, and if it and the whiter it is, the hotter it is, so make that shit white. It'll clear you out. Yes.
Sounds like South Carolina is with its horseradish what New Mexico is with its green chili, which, by the way, I'm a green chili wimp, which is why I would probably not last long in South Carolina because I'd have about this much horseradish and I'd probably like be screaming for a sinus replacement.
Sure.
All right, that's awesome. All right, Brandy, our Texas board member, what are you drinking?
I am having my favorite black cherry vodka and club soda.
Yay. That is
Yummy.
so you. I love that.
You're seeing me. I'm going to tell you, I just, I was like hustling home, like to jump on here. And I like hit my garage door opener and I was like, why's the garage opening? So I go and I'd like type in the code and I'm like, oh, the battery must be dead. I go to the front door and I'm like hitting the code because, of course, who carries the key to their house anymore? No one. Well, apparently everyone but me. So I'm like
No,
typing
I
in the
got a code.
code. Nothing's happening. So I'm like going around to the back door and I come inside and I'm like, what? And I flip on the light and I'm like, there is no electricity. So then I like run out the front door and I'm seeing like everyone else like looking outside and I'm like, oh, great. So that's why I'm
Oh
seeing the natural light of the window. Because we have no electricity in my neighborhood.
I thought you were going to say you're at the wrong house. And I'm like, man, you know, I've heard of I've heard of brain dead pharmacy owners, but you take the cake.
For sure.
No.
Lauren, we haven't heard from you. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Topo Chico margarita because I am enjoying Florida right now.
Woo! All right. So then for what I'm drinking, I'm Monique, everybody. I'm sure that also goes without saying.
Hi, Monique.
Hi, everybody.
Everyone's supposed to do that in unison. We practiced this for 10 hours.
And it still didn't work. It's still not coordinated. Damn it. All right. So I said earlier, I was doing some research and I got to thinking about this and I realized, so Brandy, her state is the lucky state that is in the path of the solar eclipse, which will be happening just a couple days after we air our episode. So I made a drink called the Solar Eclipse.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. And before everybody gets fancy. All ooh-ah, let me tell you what's in the Solar Eclipse so you can decide if you want to try this or not. It's orange soda with dark rum floated on top and an orange slice. And the thing that I noticed about this is that the dark rum really does float on top of that soda. So when you drink it and you're mean, you're not used to drinking rum, you get a whole lot of rum right up front.
Yummy, yummy.
So that's where the straw comes in.
Yeah.
I was looking for a straw. I don't have any. I am without straw. But it's an actual cocktail. Yeah, I did not make this up. You can Google it or you can just check the show notes because the recipe will be there.
Fun perfect.
Time. Are you looking forward to the solar eclipse? Do you have any plans for that?
I'm going to be on an airplane. During the solar eclipse, what the hell is that going to look like?
That's cool.
That's going to be interesting.
Are they even able to see it? Are they even going to fly? I mean, I was like, what the hell? Can they even fly a plane? But they let me book it.
No, maybe.
That's fun.
It's very well known that airplanes fall out of the sky during the solar eclipse. So I would recommend that you. Yeah. Okay. Again, just kidding. That's not going
to
happen.
Change beneficiary from ex-wife to somebody else on my life insurance is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay.
We can just blame it on United Health Group. I mean, they keep getting hacked. They must have affected the FAA. It's their fault.
Yeah, Boeing. They built the software for the Boeing airplanes, and doors are flying off their freaking planes now. Yeah. I mean, it's. There's not. Hey, listen. I'm convinced.
That's why I'm happy.
Guys, I'm convinced they're behind these damn break-ins too. The PBMs. Just want to freaking harass everybody that they're freaking sending people to break in your pharmacies too.
Guaranteed.
No, I hate flying, and that's why I'm really happy that APHA is having their conference in Nashville next year. And me and Angry Pharmacist have got together and decided, and I've not cleared this with you all at all, and went ahead and made a lot of plans, that we are going to live stream our personal podcast of PBM on the Rocks.
Ooh.
From APHA next year, where we live stream and comment on everything happening and get super, super fucking trashed right in the middle of it. We will be thrown out within 2 hours, but it will be completely legendary. And we'll just saunter on down to downtown Nashville, where we continue to get messed up and try to get back in the next day. So we're going to live stream PBM on the Rocks from APHA next year.
That will be a special episode.
Yes,
we'll have a special APHA episode.
Yes, It's going to be great. I don't think they'll even let me into NCPA at this point, but I'm pretty sure I can get to APHA because those nerds are never fucking paying attention.
Sneak you in.
That's perfect.
You heard it here.
Oh no, I'm going to get a booth and I'm going to have a PBM on the Rocks logo and we're going to do it from the booth and we're going to say a lot of really fucked up things. We've already been making material. It's going to be insane. And Monique's looking frightened.
I'm just thinking, how do I get plausible deniability out of all
that's,
of this?
Yeah.
Honey, that ship is sailed.
I don't know who these people are.
That ship is sailed.
You're going to need to get Miguel or Greg or Mark or Bozen and Snow on retainer prior to your trip.
Making fun of the students coming in that have no clue what they're doing or nervously trying to find their seat. Like, oh, here they come. Are they going to get it? Oh, man. Heckling random people. I'm going to go and I'm going to like treat it like it's like some kind of comic book convention. And I'm going to cosplay like, as Karen Lynch. Yeah, I'm just going to go full on dressed as Karen Lynch. It's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah. Jeremy, so you're amazing going to dress up as Karen Lynch.
I will dress up as Karen Lynch.
So he'll wear a Barbie dress and a blonde wig to go with the cover of the book that she just released.
Yes.
I will.
First thought, I'm going to be me. After I'm kicked out, I'm going to try to get back in as Karen Lynch.
You'll pull it off. You're paparazzi.
Yes. Sona, you're in Southern California. Do you have a version of Malibu Barbie house that we can send Jeremy complete his ensemble?
Nice. You know, I mean, there may be, but that's not really my thing, so I have no idea.
No, the best thing is I'm not even going to shave my legs. They're just going to be hairy and out there. It's going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And if we said you have flat feet, would you know what that means?
Oh, I have flat feet. I know I have flat feet.
Okay. I think you're taking that literally, darling.
Yeah. I do have literal flat feet. I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm going to be in heels and it's going to be hideous.
Well, when you see Barbie, you'll know exactly what that means.
Oh, I have seen Barbie. Okay. Okay. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think we should start sending Jeremy some heels to practice in.
There you go.
That's fine. Emily's got tiny little feet. Ain't no way I'm getting into those. Give me some big old honking heels. I'll do it. I wear 11 and a half. So. Give me some big heels.
I know what I'm sending you for your first Father's Day.
Nice. I got some heels. Yeah.
So Ben, what's going on in pharmacy insurance group world? We're going to talk more about this on a future podcast.
Oh, well, if we can get pharmacy owners to understand what we're doing, you know, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like talking to a guy today and it's like, well, I don't want to sell something and then do something. And I'm just like, dude, it's already happening. Somebody's selling this crap to your people and you're already, you're already not filling certain scripts because you're getting your ass kicked and you're losing money on them. And I just don't feel right not doing that, selling the plan and then not filling a script. And I'm like, geez, you're already freaking doing it. We have so many people adopting this model. It's wonderful, but we still run into the people who are like, man, I just don't know. I don't know. Our new slogan is join or die. And you'll see this a lot. Join or die. And people are like, did I come from Game of Thrones? Speaking of Game of Thrones, right? Did I come from Game of Thrones on that? No, it's not bend your knee or die. It's join or die. It's the Gadsden flag from the Revolutionary War, if you remember, the snake flag. Join our revolution or die. And the fact of the matter is that pharmacy owners cannot just sit around and take what comes in their door anymore. They have to be out front influencing patients and helping them understand what's going on as an agent, not as a pharmacy owner, not as a pharmacist. You can have that conversation as an agent. You can't have that as a pharmacy owner. So the goal there is to have that really impactful conversation about how these PBMs are treating the pharmacy. And then help those patients make, because when you factor that in, a patient will choose to pay a little bit more for an insurance plan in order for that pharmacy to stay in business.
Yeah, of course.
Preach it. Preach it.
We got to do it. We got to do it, people. I mean, come on. We got to do this. I know when you went to pharmacy school, you thumbed your nose at us insurance agents. I know you did it, but guess what? Now you need to join us. Don't thumb your nose at us.
I'm going to cut you off right there. Fuck no. I'm not selling insurance.
Well, there's a ton of money, Jeremy.
Yeah. So it's clear that Ben in a past life was Paul Revere. Yeah. And thank goodness for that, because we have the country that we have that hadn't been for Paul Revere. And if we just take the case that Ben is Paul Revere again for the pharmacy industry, thank goodness we have him, because I think you're right. 100% think you're right. Not everyone's going to see it that way. But that's okay, because, for example, our president Deb, who is joining that revolution, could just travel on down to Jeremy's store and work it out with his patients.
Patients all I want, but like it straight up, I didn't think we were allowed to actually push insurance to patients. Like I thought that was an actual like law.
Nope, it is not
a law. Or was that just Part D plans?
No, it's not Part D plans. It's not Advantage plans. It's none of that crap. You have been sold a bill of goods by the PBM industry, excuse me, saying you can't do this when in fact we hired the highest powered Medicare attorney on this planet, paid him $100,000 to go in and figure this out. And the absolute truth is you can do this. Yes. Yeah. We have over 1,000 pharmacies doing it now.
Huh.
I mean, it makes total sense that you.
Then how are we told this that many years?
Really?
Yeah. They wouldn't even tell us, like they were telling us that we couldn't straight up like recommend back when certain plans were even better than other plans and paid out more. We couldn't even recommend those.
But it's so
that's what I'm wondering was how that changed.
Well, so what you're doing is number one, you're not operating as a pharmacist. You're acting as an agent. You can have a much bigger, more encompassing conversation about as an agent. Okay. Number two, you're not steering them. You're giving them the information, the truth about what's going on, and they are choosing the plan. You can say, for example, you can say this plan actually treats our pharmacy better than that plan. You can give them that information. As an agent, I do it all the time. When somebody calls me and they want to stay in their independent pharmacy, I say, listen, that so-and-so plan sucks. This plan sucks a little bit less.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that. But we're not getting like commission or anything on it, are we?
You are getting commission, yes. If we set up,
see, that's where I thought there might be issues with it.
Nope.
But I'm all for like pushing them toward a plan that's a better plan overall for them and for us. I think that's something we should be doing. And that's something I've been doing even when I thought it was illegal to do so. Just like I ignored all the gag clauses and I ignore pretty much fucking anything that I don't like.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
The whole commission thing's kind of like,
if we set it up correctly, we keep everything separate. You can get paid the commissions on that as well. Yep, absolutely. All right.
See, I'm the kind of guy you got to win it over because it's like, yeah, that's that. I was hearing you talking. I was like, oh my, like I will get like railroaded if I do that.
Nope. We've had this tested now by a couple of the carriers. Have gone in and checked out what we're doing, and 100%, it's 100% legal, and there's no issues with steering, no start, no kickback rules, nothing. Doesn't violate any of the Medicare rules. The only thing that we cannot do in this is we cannot sell Medicare insurance or do enrollments where we practice healthcare. So you literally have to do it out from behind the counter. I mean, that's it. That's like the only rule. There's nothing that says a pharmacist can't do it. A technician can't do it. Literally anybody can do this. The bigger issue is where it's done. You just can't do it where you practice healthcare.
You have to be very deliberate, very specific about how you do this. So you cannot talk about it behind the counter in the pharmacy. If somebody comes to the pharmacy and says, hey, Deb, I want to talk about Medicare Part D, what you have to say is, okay, meet me over there. We have a little table set up up front. And you very physically take your lab coat off and you go out and talk to him and says, I am not Deb the pharmacist right now. I am Deb, your insurance agent. And that needs to be very distinct.
So once we cross those hurdles, we're like, crap, let's do it. We set up a separate LLC, keep it separate from the pharmacy. All of our record keeping is done separate. We're not blending any of the two. And the great news about starting an insurance agency, it's a hell of a lot less expensive than starting a pharmacy. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So do we have to keep a separate LLC, anything like that?
I recommend you keep a separate LLC typically, especially if you have partners.
Well, it's a good thing I have King Jeremy LLC.
There you go.
Oh,
King Jeremy
Insurance. All right, checks to King Jeremy. It's awesome.
Jeremy, join the revolution.
Yeah.
Hop on board,
I'm thinking about it now.
May. I'll meet you in St. Louis in May.
All right. In May. You're coming, to St. Louis. Ben, there you go.
Ben, when
and
are
it's
the
perfect
meetings?
Time for the Express Scripts protest, too.
Oh, my God. You know, funny story about Express Scripts. So you're going to meet Alex Bryant in May. Alex, our director of operations. Okay. And Alex, man, talk about wet behind the ears. I love Alex, but he was so green when he came in. Tremendous heart, wanted to serve people, wanted to help, you know, make pharmacies and serve communities and families and all that wonderful stuff, which is the, you know, the stuff we like to hear when we're hiring somebody. But we went into St. Louis one time because I live about 2 hours from St. Louis and we were flying to South Carolina. And we went in and we went by the Express Scripts buildings and he looked over at me and he's like, holy, and I've never heard the man cuss in my life. He said, holy shit. Holy, that's Express Scripts. I'm like, yeah, that's what we're fighting, dude.
It's like a whole campus, right?
It's
like
whatever you do. Do not say anything about fire and that headquarters. You will get kicked off Twitter.
Yeah, that thing's like the Death Star. It's got its own gravitational pull. It's
so big. Yeah. Then what's amazing
can you say
is
flaming bags of poo.
Maybe
you can might be able to say that. Just don't. If you tag them, you know, you might get in trouble. That's the thing. You know, I have said publicly many a times, I will not put it in writing, that yes, I would love to maybe see that thing
go away.
Know, go away. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, go away. Somebody told me one time, like, anybody on this stinking podcast, don't go hiking alone, ever. Okay, just throwing it out there. Somebody told me that one day. Don't ever go hiking alone, dude. You ain't coming back. You know, so
that's a story.
Yeah, yeah. Do not go hiking alone. Period. But yeah,
we've already gotten to our first death threat of the night.
Wow, it's still
normally it's a little later when the death threats come out. And normally it's me. Actually, it's been exclusively me.
Sona, you look like you had something to comment about all of this.
No, when you were talking about like throwing bags at their headquarters. So I had this Humana audit last year. This is where I bought the mug from you guys, the Fuck PBMs mug. And I thought I had a really genius idea because, you know, when they give you these audits, they send you like a return address to like mail the prescriptions and stuff like that. I was like, what if I just buy like 10 of these mugs and just mail one like weekly to their office?
Soda, that's amazing.
You gotta rotate. You got to rotate mailboxes, different freaking zip codes. You got to do it the right way.
I was like really close to doing it, but I decided not to. I thought they would figure out it was me. So
what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Throw you in like giving them drinkware jail? Like,
I don't know. They wanted to claw back like $80K from me. So I was kind of like, I'm already on their shit list. I'm not going to aggravate them.
Here's the thing though. Like, we were all afraid of that. Like back in the day, we were all afraid of saying anything. And now everyone's just like posting contracts openly. Yeah. Like they know that they can't do anything to us for this stuff. They could try to kick us out of network if they really want, but if they really start trying to come down on us, they're not going to have network adequacy. And this is not a time that they want to draw a lot of attention to them coming down on us.
That is absolutely 100% true. You know, we see the communications on the back end. So we see the communications from CMS to the carriers. And it's amazing. So you guys, when you become an agent and you're on your own book of business and you start doing this, you'll start to see the back inside. So when there's a certain PSAO who decided not to take Express Scripts on the Medicare side, immediately an email went out from CMS saying you've got network adequacy issues to Express Scripts on the Medicare side. And it was like, you've got a certain amount of days to remedy this and tell us how you're going to be able to provide your services to Medicare patients. So it got our attention, like, holy crap, that was one PSAO who opted out. What if every PSAO opted out of that? There's going to be massive adequacy issues. So I don't know if...
Oh, they could if they actually like did anything worth a shit.
I know that, but I did hear there's one other PSAO who's not going to take Express Scripts Medicare next year. I don't know if that's true or not. I've dropped Express Scripts a lot because I hate that fucking company. But again, I've heard there's another PSAO getting ready to do it too, which is a pretty big one. So maybe, I know Mutual of Omaha pulled out of the Medicare space and they were an Express Scripts partner. So maybe, just maybe, maybe there is a way, you know, PSAOs, but they just got to opt out the damn contracts, you know, and who's willing to do that? Which PSAOs are willing to do that? That's the question at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The PSAOs, if they weren't owned by the wholesalers, we could actually see a little more consolidation with it, like we see with American pharmacies. Yeah. And there could actually be some power and we could actually swat a few things around. That would be excellent. We're going to need to get buying groups on board with doing something on like that, though, because the buying groups think they're getting a better deal by going with the wholesaler PSAOs.
Sure,
and
sure.
In a lot of cases, you know, we are getting a better overall deal as far as like prices or whatever, but at what overall cost, when we could go with a single PSAO taking care of indies that could just be like, nope, no indie's going to accept this. Go fuck yourself. We wouldn't have DIRs if that were the case.
I know. If we could just get everything pointed, all pharmacies and all of these organizations pointed the same direction on like one issue, two issues. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've been saying that forever. If we get united under one freaking issue and all attack that issue at the same time. But that would involve a lot of freaking people putting egos aside and you know, to do that. Maybe one day.
The biggest problem. There's a whole lot of ginormous egos who want all the credit when really you have us lowly owners down here going, I don't care who gets the credit. Can we just fix something? Anything?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We want to make more than 47 cents on a freaking lisinopril, for crying out loud, or whatever you make now on that freaking drug. So yeah, no, I get it. It's if we could get that'd be phenomenal. You know, again, one of the things, there are some ways to unite though. There are some ways. Maybe it's not in the pharmacy side. Maybe it is on the insurance side. Maybe there is a way to unite everybody together to point the direction that, hey, you know, because again, there are possibilities. You're on a podcast, kiddo. Did you know that?
Hi, I'm our youngest visitor on the podcast.
You're on a podcast. You don't like PBMs either? That we won't tell me.
I want to tell you, I got the dart gun because I wanted to sell it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, buddy.
Sitting very intently, like, yeah.
he got the dart gun. He went, yeah.
Well,
so.
I mean, and there we go. That ties right back into National Stress Relief Month. PBMs are stressful. We have a dart gun.
I know.
We can shoot darts at PBMs.
I know. Ooh, shoot darts.
That would relieve stress. Deb,
poisonous darts? Hey, listen.
Did they say poisonous darts?
Yeah, poisonous darts.
It could be poisonous darts. No. It could just be things that would maybe, you know, knock sense into them.
Tranquilizer darts.
That would be better.
That would be good.
So oh, my power just came back on.
There's Brandy. Hey.
That just goes to show that with enough hate, anything can happen.
Exactly.
That's been my motto. Most everything I've accomplished is out of spot.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Which is why that's what actually got me on board with what Mark Cuban's trying to do. Brandy was telling me, no, like he's doing this. It was once we really started to understand him and understood that like what Cuban's doing right now, it isn't because he wants to make a ton of money. It's because the PBM screwed him out of money and he's doing all of this out of spot.
Yeah, he's
and
he's,
that resonates with me.
Yeah.
That's what got me on board with like what he was trying to do. I was like, no, I get that. I create this whole thing. I wouldn't even have to make money. If it could just break even and it just like hurt them in some way, I would do it. So yeah. I get it. Yeah. Like that's what I got it.
Yeah, dude's just pissed off, man. You mean
yeah, he's mad.
He found out what his like broker was making and shit. He's like, yeah, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know. Damn, it's there. If you can get the
brokers,
data.
They need to be on the chopping block too. But we're focused once we get reimbursement, we need to be laser focused on reimbursement. Once reimbursement is taken care of, we need to go after the brokers, the wholesalers, everything else. But right now, we just need to care about reimbursement. And honestly, if reimbursement were good enough, you know, they could play their stupid rebate games and do whatever finance bullshit that they wanted to. I wouldn't even care anymore. Yeah, list prices are big, but they're doing all their back alley nonsense and the CBO is going to score it this way or whatever. I wouldn't care if we weren't getting some fuck. That's the thing is if we got everything to where reimbursement was good and patients weren't paying out the ass and we weren't getting screwed, then you think we'd care? But no, it's all greed. Like they had to have more and they had to have infinite gains in a finite world and they're having to squeeze every single way that they can. And eventually that's not going to work anymore.
Yep. Eventually you push too far, you know,
to basically bankrupt us and, you know, basically pillage every aspect of the chain until they have everything. So paying us properly is not in the mindset for them.
No, and here's the thing. They know they can't bankrupt every single one of us. That's the thing. They can't because they'll have issues. Everyone will have issues, and it will actually cause more to come down on them as far as lawmakers and regulators than it normally would. Right now, we're in a period where they're just trying to squeeze out as many as possible under the guise of, oh, well, we're just doing what CMS told us.
Yeah,
that's
what they're doing. Yeah, they can't call it. They can't cause like a mass extinction event at the same time because it would just.
I mean, they're coming close right now.
I know it is.
They couldn't pull it to the point where we all went out at the same time, even though it's very close. Right now, it's mostly cash flow crunch. Reimbursement overall is absolute shit and terrible. But one thing that they're pulling right now is making the cash flow crunch that bad so that you get it to people who don't have those reserves and don't have access to that kind of cash. They have to sell. And if you could just shake the tree and get those out, then whenever reimbursement reform comes around or they've got to settle this or do that, it's going to be way less for them.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. No, that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. Like I've been telling everybody, I think Express Scripts is just outright declared war on the independent pharmacy at this point. Some of the shit. But Express Scripts, you know, I don't know much. I know in certain places around the country, there's better payers. And I say better, it's all relative, but it seems like the Express Scripts contracts was abysmal. So, but yeah, they couldn't do it because of the stink that it would cause. Like you were talking, Jeremy, the stink that it would cause. People would say, man, you know what? You know, I like my independent. There's a whole bunch of people like they're independent. Now they're all going out of business. So I think it's been slowly but surely kind of turning the money supply off.
Well, Express Scripts has gotten very greedy lately, getting TRICARE and getting numerous other things. They took a hold of the Virginia State Retirement and wrapped that up in their Part D plan. And we didn't know that. And we turned down the Part D plan. And we didn't realize we were turning down the Virginia retirement plan. So after I sent a very strongly worded email to Express Scripts calling them vampires and fucking scum and everything else, my dad had to come back later and send an email being like, actually, we will take that contract because the Virginia retirement contract is actually really good. But the Part D part is terrible.
And by vampires, I meant...
My son did not mean that you are a pathetic piece of excrement and that he hopes that you and your family burn alive in your house. He did not mean that in that email. He's got a very particular sense of humor.
Yes, that's right. That's how he expresses his loves.
Well, and besides, everybody knows that Express Scripts wants to work with community pharmacies. I mean, they did after all.
We're their valued partner.
Last fall. Yeah, valued partner. Yeah.
I'm so fucking valued.
Yeah, yeah.
Value the shit out of myself.
You guys did see the statement that PCMA sent to that Kansas news station. PCMA literally sent the statement, PBMs support rural pharmacies in Kansas and nationwide through innovative programs that increase reimbursements.
Yeah, none of that exists. Dad's got a rural pharmacy. That don't fucking exist.
Yeah, I've missed
the boat on that apparently forever.
Deb, you have a rural pharmacy. Do PBMs do this?
Oh, absolutely. They bring me trinkets and bonbons every Friday.
Nice.
Excellent.
Nice.
They tell you you're having a good hair day and that you've never looked better. And you can do this. They're very supportive.
Yeah. Hey, so y'all want to hear a funny story?
They are scared of Deb, so I'd believe that.
I can see it. Hey, so I got a funny story about a PBM. I haven't told a lot of people this, but this is a perfect opportunity to tell. So I was at a trade show one time and they invited CVS Caremark to come in. CVS Caremark decided they were going to send some representatives. I don't know this lady's last name. Her name is Wendy, and I know she worked for CVS Caremark. And so Wendy, at the closing night party, was completely overserved. Okay, she's bombed out of her mind. And
great already.
This is classic. I mean, this is a wonderful story. So Wendy, I walked up to her, and I was like, "Hey, yeah, I know you're with Caremark, and just kind of what's going on?" And she's like, "You know what? We're like the best friends to independent pharmacies." And I'm like, oh really? Really?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Okay, so I called one of my buddies over, and he's a good old boy from Mississippi. And I said, so-and-so, I'm not going to tell you his name. He probably wouldn't give a crap. But I said, what do you, tell me what you think of CVS Caremark. And he said, ma'am, I wouldn't piss down your throat if your heart was on fire.
Oh my God.
And that lady looked, was like, I mean, it just stunned her. And yeah. I mean, and I was like, this is what these people think about you. They don't want to be your friend. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
And you ain't gonna be, you're not gonna be the best friends at the pharmacy. Now, this is where it gets freaking crazy. Okay. So now she's talking about how they take DIR fees and they keep 30%, but they're not making any money on it. So this is where I politely started calling her Pinocchio. And she's getting pissed at me. And then finally she's like, well, we work with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arkansas. We're trying to get them to move down the continuum of reimbursement. I looked at her and I said, are you telling me you're trying to convince Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay their independents less? And she's like, that's not what I said. This is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
This is exactly what you said.
That's what happens. And that's what you encounter whenever you get other pharmacists or anyone else in the industry that's on that particular side. I encounter them a lot on like Reddit, social media, and everything else. They really do drink that Kool-Aid, and they really, really do believe that, because I mean, some of them, you know, on some level, they know it's bullshit. On other levels, they drink it and they have to believe it, because if they don't, they can't fucking sleep at night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, how could you sleep at night knowing you're fucking all these people over? You got to really believe that you helped them. I mean, you got to really drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah.
And that's why, when you put things out there, you will get a lot of pushback from people that are on that side, because, I mean, really, they are defending themselves and not just their company, because it would actually hurt them to think that they do it that way. Also, fuck those people. I don't care about them, and I hope their feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
So, I don't care.
Dude, hey, it's not your responsibility for freaking telling them the damn truth. They should actually Google their own freaking company, for crying out loud, and they'd actually see the truth.
I would love nothing more than to be a fly on the wall after Senate Bill 188 got through in Kentucky.
You watched that hearing, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is an absolute game changer. And there was no opposition except for... Oh, what's his name? Connor, I think, from PCMA.
The PCMA lobbyist is the same lobbyist that's actually in Georgia. He's been in Florida, and he did not have any new talking points to say. He had the exact same thing he said in the Kentucky Senate committee hearing a couple weeks ago that the chair actually was able to discredit. He was trying to compare the hospital systems owning specialists and other entities as a similarly vertically integrated conglomerate, such as the PBM insurance retail pharmacy mail order system.
What's Connor's last name, by the way?
Rose. Yes. So Connor Rose. So
do I detect a Hokie Farm throwdown?
Oh yeah, there'll be something.
Well, he just
at least
one
on my radar.
He has the same 10 talking points, so it's very easy to figure out what he's going to say, because he just has his list of things. The Anthem rep that was speaking in opposition, she at least switched hers up a little bit. She said, you know, I'm definitely going to be back here next session, because there was also talk that, okay, they've done this in the Medicaid space in Kentucky. They're now doing this with the state employee plans. So the next step would be commercial market. And, you know, they've tried to throw in ERISA issues and all of those things. And most of them were easily batted away by either the chair or other committee members saying, we don't believe you. So that was nice to hear.
At least we're getting to the point where lawmakers are just not believing them.
Yeah. It would be
We've
nice.
We've come a long way in the last few years.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
If everyone listening, what was this bill about? They may not realize.
So this bill is a continuation of Senate Bill 50, which was passed a couple years ago by Senator Max Wise. This bill, Senate Bill 188, it allows for independent pharmacies to receive a $10.64 dispensing fee for the state employee plans It does carve out the retirees, so the 65 and older, because those are technically Medicare Part D eligible patients. And so it will still have a large group of people that this bill will impact, hopefully will help independent pharmacies as well. And they did carve out chains from being able to access the 1064 dispensing fee because they are having the state run a neutral actuarial study instead of waiting to hear what the PCMA-led research is going to say or the independent pharmacy-led research. They're having their Department of Insurance run an actuarial study, so it should be a little more third-party neutral. Nice. And then that will actually set the dispensing fee. But they put this bill in so that almost like a stopgap, so independent pharmacies can get this nationally recognized reimbursement level of 1064, and then they will do the actuarial study, and it could take up to 2 years.
Nice.
So they didn't want more pharmacies to close, so they want to do this. So that passed the Senate committee. They ended up having to do a Senate amendment so that that carve out for just the independent pharmacies would take place, and that ended up lowering the fiscal impact on what could potentially be a cost to the state. But as many people mentioned in the committee hearing, that there was actually a savings to the state of $282 million when they went to a single PBM in the Medicaid space in Kentucky. So Kentucky was very much in support of this, and they kept mentioning how independent pharmacies in Kentucky and their patients really called and got all their legislators to side with this. So it made it very easy to support this bill, because one of the key members mentioned that not supporting this bill was pretty much the definition of insanity. You cannot do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. So you cannot continue listening to PCMA's talking points of, oh, the sky is falling, the premiums are going to increase, copays are going to increase to patients if you pass PBM reform. So then you don't pass PBM reform and prices still go up. Pharmacies still close. Patients still have no access.
I mean, it's the most comprehensive bill we've seen that I've seen anywhere that addresses dispensing fees and then steering. And it also addresses enforcement. Like, I mean, it's exactly what I've been saying we need in Texas.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Walgreens and Kroger came out against it suddenly after the end, whenever it passed the Senate, because they thought it was unfair. And it's hilarious that they're fucking saying that because they get a much higher reimbursement than we do on their drugs.
Yeah.
So they came out and they're just like, no, we should get this dispensing fee too.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Shut the fuck up. Fuck these people.
I shared something on Facebook where there was a drugstore independent that closed, and they showed the reimbursement that they got versus the three closest chains, which I think one of them was a grocery store.
Yeah.
It's freaking Georgia. Georgia, you saw that? You saw that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
And then, the PBM comes back and says, oh, these were just obscure drugs that no one uses. And I'm like,
atorvastatin? Atorvastatin? Are you kidding me? Damn it.
Obscure drugs. They're just, top 10 drugs.
Yeah, just every single freaking human on this planet is on that freaking drug. Okay, sorry. It's obscure.
Yeah.
I
mean, they're used at this point. I think it's actually been a detriment to them that they've had this much control, because they don't have a gauge on what they can say that sounds outlandish, because they're used to just like saying whatever. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. Hey. That's right. You all are the experts. And now they're just saying things like this, like, oh, yeah, no one's on a atorvastatin. They're going to say this, and they're used to people just like believing all of their bullshit that they think that'll fly, and it just doesn't.
I have a question for you really quick. So say you have this group of brokers, if you will. So we'll call ourselves brokers / pharmacy owners who are not acting as pharmacy owners.
Yes.
Could we potentially have any bargaining power with these PBMs about plans and reimbursements if we have patients who are going, no, we don't want this? Or if we start to see, more pharmacies saying, we're not taking these plans.
Yeah.
Is there a potential down the line for some kind of bargaining power with that?
So I'm gonna give you the simple answer. I'm gonna wink twice for no, once for yes.
We're coming to the end of our drinks, and this has been a delightful conversation. There's actually quite a lot to be optimistic about today, Ben. Thank you, Sona. Yep. Thank you, everybody. And so I think, as is our tradition often on the podcast, we should pick something to drink to, and I will give that honor to Ben. Ben, what are we drinking to tonight?
As you see my daughter right here.
Yes.
I'm drinking to a brighter future for her, and for her to be able to go into an independent pharmacy in the future where she doesn't have to go to we call CVS in my household, come visit Satan. So she will not have to be forced to go to a drugstore she doesn't want to go to. She can go to an independent.
Love it. We'll drink to that.
Yep, absolutely.
Sona, did you have anything you wanted to drink to?
You know, I think this is nice to have other independent pharmacists from all over talk to each other and see what's going on. I mean, you get stuck in your own little world of doing what you're doing, and every day you're trying to mitigate losses. I felt so by myself this whole time. I'm trying to, you know, see the e-scripts. What are these weird prescriptions for, like, random things that, you know, people don't really take? How much does this cost? Can I buy it somewhere else? And, you know, being able to listen to the podcast and meet people and talk about this is very relieving that I'm not alone, but also to hear about, like, new laws that are coming on board, and people seem very focused on
I made something special for you
right now, which is a very positive thing.
Well, all right.
Absolutely.
For that too.
Thank
you so much for joining us tonight, and for everyone listening, thank you. And we will see you all next week on PBM on the Rocks.
Thank y'all.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bye.
Bottoms up,
everybody.
Keep the fight up.
To learn more about Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency and how you can help fight PBM abuse of our healthcare system, visit our website at truthrx.org.